vis-a-vis Russia when they designed the plane and its matching missile system. So that's one of the other things that it did. And apparently the Griffin is much better suited to the Ukraine situation than the F-16. Go ahead.
Okay, I don't know any of the specs on it, but as always, I wish them well. I think they're going in the right direction. This has never been a quick war. This is still not a quick war. It's going to drag out for a couple of years more. The only question I have is, you know, whether Putin will survive it or not. At this point, I don't think so, because he's you know, dug his heels in. He's not going no matter what. So the only way that Russia will sue for peace is if Putin falls out of a window someplace.
Yeah, I'm inclined to think he just might. Not sure just how somebody's going to get away with that, but, you know, that seems entirely possible at this point. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, some people kind of, again, the propaganda is that Russia or the Soviet Union or whatever you want to call it is invincible. They weren't invincible. They weren't invincible when they collapsed in on itself during World War One. Wasn't invincible when Stalin took it over. It wasn't invincible when it collapsed after Afghanistan. It's a very collapsing country, so it can easily collapse again. It's just a matter of time. And, you know, I mean, they're running out of anything. Their bank is going bankrupt. Their businesses are collapsing in on themselves. You know, soon there's not going to be any food because they don't have any diesel for the engines for the farm equipment. You know, there's only so many legs you could kick out from under a chair and still expect it to levitate above the floor.
Yeah. Well, the other problem is the West really does not want the former Soviet Union, Russia, as I guess it's known now, to become a failed state, because then the West has to scoff up the loose nuke. And the United States has done that before, but nobody particularly wants to have to do that. So that's a problem, Jeff.
Yeah, but Vladimir isn't leaving anyone any way around it. I mean, no one's going to kind of go in and take him out so that they can kind of, you know, make friends again and the world would be a simpler place. So, you know, the West is just kind of looking in and wondering what the next move is going to be. It's not going to be simple. It's not going to be clean. I don't see Russia kind of collapsing to a lot of little states. We couldn't be that lucky. So I think it will just coalesce around another strong man, one who is more flexible about his goals and not particularly interested in reconfiguring the great Soviet Union or the great Russian Empire of the 19th century.
Oh, okay, yeah. CBS in New York just said the shooting was at West 30th and Surf Avenue, so it was the projects all the way down there. Which is good, not close enough to Brighton where my buyer is going to say, hey, wait a minute, this is a dangerous neighborhood, I don't want to buy in here anymore. I think there's very little chance of that anymore. The guy already lives in the building, though it's not somebody I know. Anyway, it's way down at the other end of the boardwalk, apparently.
There's an intellectual difference between Coney Island and Brighton.
Yeah, I guess there is, even though it's pretty close. I know the change on the boardwalk when I used to walk down there. The change when you walk past the aquarium is really kind of striking, kind of you're not in Kansas anymore kind of thing to her.
Yeah, it's kind of a psychological DMZ zone, thankfully. Because, I mean, Coney Island has always been a crappy area since before I was born. And, you know, Brighton is a middle-class area. It's dramatically different in personality, even though its location is abutting each other.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of interesting. I don't think I realized till the last few years. I mean, we tended to call it a Russian neighborhood, and it is actually, correct me if I'm wrong, actually largely Ukrainian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, you know, back in the old days, they were all the same to us. You know, people didn't differentiate between the two, but that's probably the case.
Yeah, anyway, I really enjoyed living there for years. but, you know, times change. My wife lives down here and has a much bigger condo, and it's a lot less too expensive to live down here. So it wasn't a tough sell on her part to get me to just move in here rather than the other way around.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, it was a neighborhood filled with elderly Jewish people, you know, West European types, not particularly East. And then all of a sudden, 2 days, and the entire population kind of shifted out from under me.
Yeah, what's interesting is Northeast Philadelphia, where I am now, really, to a certain extent, the sort of similar middle-class Russian and Ukrainian neighborhood. The people from Brighton and Sheepshead Bay moved down into the Philadelphia suburbs near Northeast Philly, apparently, when they get a little more money. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was unaware of that migration path.
Yeah, well, I was, too. I happened to notice one day that one of our neighbors had a car they bought from a Sheepshead Bay dealership. And I could just sit next to them. I was sat next to them at a New Year's Eve party in the clubhouse. And I kind of realized, oh, this is interesting. Some of the people get jobs and move down here once they outgrow Sheepshead Bay in Brighton.
Okay, yeah. I mean, you know, lots of different people go to lots of different places. I was mentioning earlier this morning on the 10-meter net that pretty much most of the guys I grew up with in the area did everything but stay. Some went to Long Island, some went to New Jersey, some went down to Florida, some went to California. They were spread out all over the place.
Yeah, we've tossed around the idea of moving to Florida or becoming snowbirds. I don't think we're going to do it. I think we're going to try to get a first floor and trade the condo we're in now, which is a very, very nice one. Would be huge by New York standards, about 1,550 feet, I think it is, two bedrooms and a loft. We may try to get a first floor unit because neither of us really wants to walk steps all that much anymore. We're not even 70 yet. It's very annoying to already feel that way. We didn't really think we'd start feeling this way for another 10 years, but, you know, that's reality. Anyway, I think we're just going to stay here and not try to pick up stakes and move to Florida. Go ahead.
Yeah, Florida is kind of dicey. The insurance is problematic. They have sinkholes. They have all kinds of nasty things going on there, and the economy is not quite as good as it once was. So, yeah, I'd steer clear of Florida.
Yeah. I don't really understand why it's so popular. The weather just isn't that good, really. I mean, you have the hurricane scares every summer. I mean, parts of Florida are really nice during the winter, but you know, like the Orlando area, you know, the middle of Florida can get darn cold. The main advantage is they don't have snow, which is really nice. You know, my wife and I really don't like walking in the snow anymore, so that's why we've even thought about it. You know, and we could Jewish Florida, so to speak, the Fort Lauderdale area, you know, or as some people call it, South Brooklyn, is sort of warmer than the rest of the state, apparently.
Yeah, I think it's the combination of the climate and the low taxes, at least previously, as time goes on, you know, people are tightening up on some of the aspects of that.
Yeah, well, like I said, I guess so. Well, yeah, I mean, they, you know, attracted all these people down there with low tax. It's like any other business, you know, attract all the new customers with low prices and then crank up the prices. That's essentially what's happening. Go ahead.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's part of the modern age. This is kind of how business seems to work for everything on the internet. You give it away at first. That was one of the many problems that's occurring in artificial intelligence. They gave you free samples, and as time went on, you got a couple of free little freebies, and then you had to check, you know, you had to register, log in, then you had to get an account, and then you had to pay a certain amount of fee for a certain number of tokens, and then they charge you an arm, a leg, and a head. You know, it's never great for long. It's always, I hope the FCC doesn't mind my using this technical term. It's an actual technical term. You could look it up in Google. They call it incentification. It's a kind of they give it away, and then they try to see how much they can charge you for every little bit of it, and they make it awful, so everyone walks away eventually.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I had a laugh last week. I had ChatGPT update a spreadsheet for me I wanted to use on my blog, and I said, okay, give me the top 10, that worked nicely. So I said, okay, give me the top 50, that worked nicely. I said, okay, do me a favor, sort the whole spreadsheet for me this way, and it said, you got to pay for that.
Yeah, that's the beginning of the end. There's a lot of telltale signs that the edifice is crumbling right in front of us.
Yeah, you know, and everything's subscription now. You know, the days you buy software, pay for it once, you know, and then keep it unless you want to upgrade, and then you get a big discount on the upgrade, seems to be gone. Now everything's a so-called SaaS, the software as a service. You know, you pay a subscription, you pay for it again and again every year. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's a very lucrative field because it doesn't really cost you any additional costs to expand your customer base. You just give them access to the software. Adobe, unfortunately, is feeling a lot of pain. People are getting tired of the subscription service presented by Adobe. So, you know, users, customers will only take so much of this nonsense. And, you know, if you really upset them, they will leave you. And unfortunately for Adobe, they're learning that lesson.
Yeah, I pay a lot for the Adobe. This is probably one of the few things I pay a lot for. I mean, the pro version lets me just convert stuff to Word documents with one click. And I've been meaning to look and see if one level down, if the personal version will still do that. You know, but it's like, well, this pro version is ridiculously expensive, but I really like the functionality. Go ahead.
Yeah, it can be useful, but, you know, it's sort of surprising. They downgraded the mail server. In the old days, you could do a mail merge, but the latest, greatest version, you can't do it anymore. So they're taking away features. They're not marking down the price or anything. MS Publisher, they announced that they're simply not updating it, and they're going to kind of take it out of the whole set. So you're not going to be able to access any of the files. So, you know, Microsoft has no respect for their customers. You know, they assume that God anointed them or something.
Well, yeah, I think everybody does. Yeah, $165. I have a subscription on that also. You know, that works, seems to work really well, but, yeah, I saw that about Publisher. I was wondering about that. I mean, it would seem that most of the functionality is probably available in Word and some other software now, so I'm not, but, you know a lot more about that than I do, whether they're really taking away any functionality on that. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not a complete kind of plug-in type of thing. It's not like you could take the old files and upload them, and it knows what it's supposed to do. It's going to reduce it to some kind of raw file, and you could kind of shape it somewhere vaguely close to the old Publisher files. But I don't know. I don't think it would cost them anything to maintain it. God knows they have money. Not as much as before they started to waste it on OpenAI. So, I don't know. I'm not particularly a big fan of very, very large software houses. They tend to, you know, misbehave rather, you know, regularly. And there's nothing you can really do except just take your business elsewhere. You know, they won't listen to you. They don't care about individual customers. You know, unless you got 1,000 seats, they don't give a crap.
Yeah, good point. Guy I do consulting for now and then. I've got to get in touch with him. I haven't heard from him in a while. He refuses to use anything Microsoft. He does everything with free Google software, you know, which is for the most part okay. But I've found it annoying sometimes when I've worked with him on a project. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand the attitude. I mean, there's also LibreOffice as well. But yeah, I understand. There's a lot of mistrust and dislike for Microsoft, and a lot of you know, there are a bunch of people who are talking about moving on to a different operating system entirely. They don't want to have anything to do with Microsoft if they can get away with it.
What are they moving to, Linux or buying Mac?
Yeah, Linux seems to be the new option. The more and more people are getting used to the graphic user interface and finding it more tolerable. So there's a big pull. There's a lot of major manufacturers like that used to be owned by IBM. where the principal default operating system you get is Linux rather than Windows these days.
That's interesting. Now, as I understand it, the iPhone and probably the Mac too are essentially Linux with a GUI layer on top of it. Is that right, Gerd?
Not exactly. It predates Linux. It's related to the Berkeley systems kernel, the BSD operating system, which goes back to AT&T. So it predates the Linux kernel.
So it's another flavor of Unix that isn't Linux. The Linux is a flavor of Unix, isn't it?
Yeah, Linux is derived based upon some aspects of Unix. It's not exactly Unix, but it's very close to Unix. And this Mac stuff all comes out of Berkeley's Unix flavored operating system.
Yeah, I remember years ago. I think I was hitting something on the screen and picking myself off here. I remember years ago talking about Unix with my dad or one of my friends, and my mother's like, "What is this about you guys liking Unix?"
Well, it was very popular among particularly technical people, people who were okay with command-lined interfaces, and it was one of the earlier operating systems. You know, it predates Windows, it predates all the consumer operating systems, so that's why.
I guess in my mother's time, a Unix was something entirely different and not an operating system. But yeah, I know a lot of people who find it difficult to use GUIs, computer professionals and prefer to work with command lines anyway, really like it. Go ahead.
Yeah, people who are into the command line interface it's thin, it's effective, it's efficient, and it's very powerful. If you've memorized all the flags already, then you can get it to do anything just by typing in some letters as opposed to go searching your GUI and move things around and make sure you click in the right box and all the other things. So, you know, like all things, it's what you're used to and what you've learned in the past. If you've learned how to get around the command line interface, it doesn't bother you as much as if you're just starting things up and you have to learn from scratch.
Yeah, I remember doing things from command lines when I was in graduate school. Even in college to some extent, though much of that was a batch computing. It's something I could probably figure out, but even though my eyesight is poor, I sometimes find it a bit of a challenge to find things in the GUI. I can usually do it. It still seems easier than memorizing all the commands. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, but some guys have memorized those commands 20 years ago. I used to watch these podcasts where these Linux heads would simply recite the, 87 character command line prompt to do some weird thing that they were showing people.
Yeah, I guess people who are good at it, yeah, it's second nature to them. for the time being, at least, I could still use the GUIs, and hopefully that will continue. But, I mean, the Microsoft stuff is kind of problematic sometimes. I do like, compared to the iPhone, when you pick up the iPhone and it just works, you know, unless you do something dumb like I did and don't charge the battery, and it just works, Dad.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about Apple. They take control, just enough control away from you to make it simple and easy to get the job done. You talk to the occasional AI nut, they'll tell you that eventually, especially with agents, you won't have to deal with any of this. You just sit in front of your screen and just tell it what you want it to do, and it will understand and do it correctly and not hallucinate. I don't know what century that's going to be reality, but that's what they're promoting.
Yeah, like I said, I tried having AI update a spreadsheet for me the other day. It actually worked reasonably well. I found a couple of things I had to fix, but... had all the city names in there and left off the states, and I wanted it to be consistent. But for the most part, it did a pretty good job of something where we're just starting a spreadsheet and giving me the output as a Microsoft Word table that I can simply copy and paste into my blog. So I'm like, okay, it can do that. I tried playing with something else just for fun, and it came up with some weird answers, some legal citations that I knew right away were wrong and stuff like, things like that. I was like, wait a minute, I know that case against Richard Nixon was obviously 1974, not 1994. Where did the AI get that one from? For that kind of thing, for that kind of research, it does some weird things. Like anything else, you really have to read it over and see if you got what you want, what you thought you were getting.
Yeah, you basically have to know the subject before you ask the AI about it, and that's problematic to me. I don't know if I'm ever going to have trust for AI. It's always going to be possible to hallucinate and just screw up what you're trying to do. So if you're really interested in working really hard to save, 3 minutes, then okay. It's just, I don't know. The intrinsic limitations of generative transform are not reducible. You can't get rid of them. They're inherent in the way that the thing works. And you might be able to lower them by a percent or so if you're very clever with your prompt, but you're always going to have to check their work. So what's the point of that exercise?
Yeah, I took an interview coaching course a couple of months ago. The instructor showed us how to use AI to generate the analyses of job descriptions. And in her prompt to do this, she specifically put in, only use this data, do not make inferences, and she felt that would avoid hallucinations at least most of the time. And for what we were doing in that class, it seemed to work reasonably well. Go ahead.
Okay, but you always got to play tricks, and you could never totally depend upon it. Yeah, every so often I read yet another news item about some schlumpy lawyers. I think it was recently they generated 3 briefs and through AI, and the judge asked them if they bothered to read the briefs themselves, and they at least truthfully said no.
Okay, looks like I'm back. I don't know why the echo link wasn't keying for a minute there. Anyway, I think it actually is getting kind of late because it's okay 7:83. And, yeah, it is actually a bit late. I'm going to check HF one more time and then hit the sack here. Even though I'm retired and don't have a real job anymore, I still like to get up reasonably early on weekday mornings. Actually, I probably have to because it's entirely possible a lawyer's going to call me about finally trying to do this closing. 7:03, have a good night. BB2BBXO.
Very good. 7:03, Frank. Always a pleasure.
That's tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Fly Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.